Welcome back. It's Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr, North Dakota Corn Council Studio. Last week, North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum at a petroleum gathering announced that, we're going to get North Dakota carbon neutral by 2030, a lofty goal. If you take into account the ethanol industry, it's kind of already there. Midwest Ag Energy CEO is also the chairman of the North Dakota Ethanol Council, Jeff Zuger. Good Monday to you, Jeff.
Yeah, great to be on.
Thank you. Well, what was your first reaction when the governor announced his carbon neutral plan for the state?
Well, I think you said it best. It's a lofty goal, but it's one that probably is worth undertaking and understanding how we can move that direction as a state. I think, federally, we'll probably get more support from a policy and from a financial funding if we show that we're moving that direction as a state.
Obviously, flaring and all of the other things that happen in the crude oil industry, it may be not quite as carbon neutral, but the ethanol industry, describe the carbon footprint of an ethanol plant.
Yeah, so we are renewable-based, which is a really strong starting point. And, farmers produce crops, that the cycle in which those crops are grown effectively absorbs the CO2 in that process that's given off in any part of our process. And there's various models on how you model carbon intensity for transportation fuel. It goes all the way from the input to manufacture the tractor that planted the field to the tailpipe exhaust from the car and anywhere in between. So, we've always viewed that when we look at trying to move towards a lower carbon footprint and trying to move towards more renewable and lower carbon transportation fuels, we have the solution in ethanol because of its low carbon intensity and the fact that it's renewable.
Planning on making any adjustments or changes, or have you heard anything from the governor's office?
Yeah, we've not talked directly to the governor's office, but we are actively working on two CO2 sequestration projects. So, as you may know, in ethanol production, when yeast convert sugar into alcohol, they also off-gas CO2. So in ethanol, we have a biogenic CO2, came from a renewable source. And it's effectively pure CO2 that we're emitting out of our fermentation process. So at Blueflin Ethanol, our facility in Underwood, we just completed a stratigraphic test well, which means we executed a well to gather samples from reservoirs below the earth. We went down to about 9,000 feet, captured a lot of great data. And now the EERC is taking the core samples from that exercise and finalizing the reservoir modeling for us to be able to take that CO2 from fermentation and inject that CO2 safely into long-term storage adjacent to the facility. And that just further reduces what's already a low carbon fuel. And our goal at Midwest Ag Energy is Vision Carbon Zero. We want to produce a zero carbon liquid transportation fuel. And putting the CO2 from our fermentation process in long-term safe storage, permanent storage underground, we believe is the right next step in doing that.
This is a lofty goal that involves what, most ethanol plants between Iowa and Bismarck?
Yeah, that you're starting to see a lot more projects being announced with, I think, just the direction that the transportation sector is moving. People are saying, well, how do we reduce our carbon intensity? You're hearing about multi-plant pipelines coming to North Dakota. We'll see how those all develop. Those are large projects and complex projects, but nonetheless, they're actively being worked on. And what we're focusing on at our two facilities is Blueflint. We hope to be injecting CO2 into our well in 2022. And then we're now moving ahead with additional seismic testing out near our Dakota Spirit facility. We have some early information that's positive and points to the fact that far east in the Williston Basin, we may have an opportunity to safely store CO2 as far east as Spiritwood, North Dakota. So we're moving ahead with an application to the North Dakota Industrial Council to help support a study that we're looking to do to advance the assumptions and further verify that CO2 potentially could be stored as far east as that area.
Wow. Now, obviously, no fracking has been taking place out around the Stutzman County area. So is this some kind of geological formation down a ways where CO2 could be stored?
There is, yeah. So there's well data, but not to the extent. If you look at a map of well data or seismic activity, it's heavily populated in the western part of the state. That's why we need more information out near Spiritwood. But there are wells that were produced and executed in the around, I think it was in the 50s, when there was quite a bit of well activity throughout the state. That information was compiled by experts and analyzed, and effectively the Deadwood Formation, which you kind of hear about as one of the lowest formations, in fact, it is the lowest formation in the Williston Basin, exists substantially out in that area, and we believe it's deep enough, thick enough, and meets enough of the criteria that potentially we could safely store CO2 into that formation. So that will be our effort, is to better understand the geology out there and whether or not we could put CO2 into the ground that far east.
How does ethanol fit into even the post office wants to electrify their fleet of delivery vehicles here. How does ethanol fit into the electrification of the U.S. transportation system?
Well, I think we have a solution today that helps get us there. If ultimately that's the direction that we all want to go as a society, you know, that takes time. And if our goal is to reduce carbon being emitted into the atmosphere, ethanol is the first step. It's a solution that exists today. We can take the products that farmers produce, convert it into a friendly renewable fuel. E15 is almost 50% lower life cycle greenhouse gas than conventional fuel. So, you know, there's a really great first step, is to just get broader adoption of E15, or what we call unleaded 88, and double our market share by going with a 15% product and taking the first step. So I think, you know, we offer a solution that exists today, and we've got to start paying attention to that solution and implementing it more broadly, so that we continue to work towards what may be longer term goals of electrification. But we have a solution right in front of us.
For sure. Hence the long-standing partnership you have with the American Lung Association. They want clean air, and of course they know and support, advertise ethanol is a source for clean air.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a big part of these large metropolitan areas. A big part of cleaning up their air years ago was introducing ethanol into their fuel fleet to begin to improve air quality. And I think just the more ethanol that you put into the transportation fleet, the cleaner the air will be, the lower the carbon emissions will be. And we just need to continue to expand the ability for consumers to choose higher level blends of ethanol.
You mentioned higher blends of ethanol. Last question, Jeff. Got to ask you about the effort in Iowa to stop the E15 mandate. The group, the Fuel Choice Coalition, plastering stickers on pumps at convenience stores and all over, saying that Iowa lawmakers are the mandate is wrong. It's going to send gas prices skyrocketing. I assume you're aware of that effort?
Yeah, that's unfortunate. I think putting an infrastructure and enabling a consumer's choices at the pump, anything that restricts that choice is really we should be concerned with. Antiquated regulations that didn't contemplate E15 that are potentially prohibiting facilities from putting E15 in a tank that would be safe to, and a pump and piping that would be safe to use, but weren't contemplated at the time of install. So I think as a nation, we need to help these retailers and help the industry get this equipment certified that it's safe to dispense these products. And then consumers can make the choice. If you offer them E15, E10, regular gasoline, they know how to make the right business decision. And we believe that the higher level blends, if you just look historically, go to the pump today, go to the pump any day, ethanol blends are lower priced. And there is no federal support for ethanol. There is a program that helps introduce it through the renewable fuel standard, but it's not being subsidized. It's because we're able to efficiently and cost-effectively produce this product and offer it to the consumer as a choice that's clean, high-octane, and low-cost.
Jeff, 2020 was a tough year for ethanol producers. How are North Dakota ethanol plants doing now in 2021?
You're right. It was a challenging year. We saw fuel demand retract 50% in March and April of 2020 and slowly make its way back. We're now, as we move into the summer, we're seeing fuel demand similar to that of pre-COVID levels. And in fact, perhaps even outpacing, because as people get out, and we think as we move into June and July, we're going to see fuel demand perhaps higher than what we saw in 2019 and 2018, just because of people finally feeling comfortable getting out and using their vehicles and getting out and seeing parks and all the things that you do in the summer. So the industry's coming back. We're now running at rates that are more similar to normal, but there were casualties. When we look at the capacity that exists, we probably lost 2-3% of the industry's capacity permanently with facilities that just couldn't sustain the tough markets that we came through. So I think the plants in North Dakota, I know our two plants are doing well. We're looking forward to higher fuel demand moving into the summer. And we just need to see a good corn crop. And that's probably our biggest challenge today, is getting some moisture so that we have a corn crop that we can convert into ethanol.
Yeah, you, like the farmers, are praying for rain. So
absolutely, we sure are.
All right, Jeff Zeuger, who is the chairman of the North Dakota Ethanol Council and, of course, president and CEO of Midwest Ag Energy. Thank you so much for the visit. Have a great summer, Jeff.
Thank you. You as well.
All right, we'll talk to you later.